Let's take our Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 20. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 20, starting with verse 17, reading through verse 28. And I want you to picture what is taking place here. This is so vivid if you just allow the words that are spoken here by the Lord Jesus Christ and off from these pages of Scripture become real in your heart this morning. Here's what's going on. It says, then the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus with her sons. She knelt respectfully and asked a favor. What is your request? He asked. She replied, in your kingdom, please let my two sons sit in places of honor next to you, one on your right and the other on your left. But Jesus answered by saying to them, you do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink of the cup of suffering I'm about to drink? That means his death. Oh, yes, they replied, we are able. Jesus told them, you will indeed drink from my bitter cup. But I have no right to say who will sit on my right or on my left. My Father has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen. When the other 10 disciples heard what James and John had asked, they were indignant. But Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your what? Say it. Servant. And whoever wants to be first must become your what? Your slave. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. Welcome this morning to week number 4 in our current Sunday morning series on everyone. Now, week by week, we've been pondering the question, just what kind of a church could we be if everyone was fully engaged? What would happen if we were as a congregation to set out to defy the 80-20 rule? What could be our potential as a body of believers here in Southeast Wisconsin to impact our city, our state, our nation, and our world? We've been asking the question week by week, what if? What if everyone prayed? What if everyone focused? What if everyone gave? What if everyone served? What if everyone read the Bible? What if everyone walked in the Spirit? Now, friends, I believe what D.L. Moody said of an individual is true of a church as well. It was D.L. Moody that said, the world is yet to see what God could do with and for and through and in and by a church who is fully and wholly consecrated to him. Our mission here at Oak Creek Assembly of God in this year of 2012 is to attempt to be that church. With that in mind this morning, we're going to focus on the question, what if everyone served? Now, I want you to think about it for a moment this morning. What is the potential of a church body whereby every single individual engages in their God-given gifts and talents? You see, there's not one of us in this room that does not have a God-given gift and a God-given talent. And we're going to see what would happen this morning if we were to energize what God has already given us and placed it into his service in serving others. Now, first of all, I believe that when we talk about servitude, we should start out with the greatest servant this world has ever known. And that greatest servant is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is the one that is our role model for all servitude. Now, in our text this morning, found in Matthew chapter 20, which we have just read, we read how the mother of James and John came to Jesus with a special petition. And she came on the behalf of her two sons. And she asked the Lord, in your kingdom, please let my two sons sit in places of honor. Now, isn't that humble? Isn't that putting others first? In your kingdom, please let my two sons sit in places of honor next to you, one on your right and the other on your left. Now, what this mom was asking for, she was asking that her sons would be placed in positions of authority, that her sons would not be just normal in the kingdom, meaning that they were just ordinary, everyday citizens of the kingdom, but she wanted her sons to be in special places of authority. Now, isn't that just like a mom? I can just see her. She's got James by the ear, dragging him over to Jesus. Come on. And so here he comes, and she says, you know, Jesus, my kids, they're good kids. They deserve these highly prized positions at your right hand and at your left hand. Now, when you think of the word left hand and right hand, you need to understand here, these positions were the most prized position next to the guest of honor. So Jesus then, as the master and as the Lord, I want my kids, one on your left and the other on the right. Jimmy and Johnny, they're the best ones you've got that's following after you. They're too good to have low-level leadership positions and roles. No menial tasks for my two sons. Others can do that. Now, it is interesting here that there's no mention of James or John either being embarrassed or attempting to shush mom up. You know, I have a sneaking suspicion when I read this, and I'll prove it to you in light of God's word in just a moment. I have a sneaking suspicion that this may not have been mom's idea at all. I think James and John put mom up to it. Now, matter of fact, as I read through this account, I just simply cannot imagine such a question coming at such a time. You see, Jesus had just told his disciples, we're on our way to Jerusalem, and when we arrive in Jerusalem, I will be arrested. I will be tried by both the religious authorities and the civil authorities. I will be crucified, and on the third day, I will rise once again back to life. And in this moment, you would think that the mindset of all the disciples would be, when we get to Jerusalem, you see, this is only about a week away from the crucifixion. And here they are, just after having spent 3 years with Jesus, here they are back in the same old rut. They're still thinking earthly that Jesus is going to set up this kingdom. And when he does, James and John, Jimmy and Johnny, they ought to be in the prized positions of authority. Well, the other disciples did not like this conversation at all. They're wondering just why is it and how is it that James and John have put themselves in this kind of a position and then asking that they would be placed there in places of authority. Look at Matthew chapter 20, verses 24 to 28 once again. It says, when the 10 other disciples heard what James and John had asked, they were indignant. But Jesus called them together, so he's going to have a holy huddle now with them. But Jesus then called them together and said, you know that the rulers in this world lord over their people. They have a tendency to look down on the people that they serve. Matter of fact, they do not see themselves as servants at all. They see themselves as masters, and the people are there to serve them. He says, you know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be the leader among you will be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life a ransom for many. Friends, you need to understand that the true kingdom of God is all about serving. It is not about positions, and it is not about titles. Sometimes we're so interested in the position and the title and the authority that goes along with it, rather than in serving. Jesus said, you've got this all wrong. He said, if you model my kingdom after the model that you see in the world, kings and leaders, they guide their people with a strong arm. They're always looking down on them. This will not be the model for my kingdom when my kingdom's established. And Jesus then modeled a servant's heart. Jesus redefined greatness. He defined greatness like this. He said, the greatest of you will be the one that is the servant of all. Jesus went on to model this kind of relationship and this kind of servitude. When Peter, at the Last Supper, should have been the one to wash the feet of the disciples, he was seated in the position of the servant. Peter was not happy with this role, and he did not rise up to go wash the feet of the other disciples. So who did it? Tell me. Jesus did. Jesus washed the feet of the disciples. It was Jesus that spent time with the children. You see, children were expected just to be out of sight and not heard, not seen. And Jesus, however, he had come for the children as well. So he spends time with the children. He spends time with Samaritans. He spends time with the Gentiles. He spends time with women. In the sense that women were only thought to be uneducated, baby-bearing individuals. So do not waste your time with women. Jesus, he elevated women to a position whereby they had worth and value. And so you find your Jesus going about serving. Nothing and no one was beneath our Lord Jesus Christ. Whoever, whenever, and wherever Jesus saw a need, he always set out to meet that need. Friends, I would ask you this morning, what if everyone served? What if every last one of us in this room, what if every last one of us had named this church, Oak Creek Assembly of God, as our home church? What if every one of us would serve in the same way that Jesus served? Every time we see a need, wherever it is at, whoever has it, whether it's in our culture, out of our culture, in our comfort zones, or out of our comfort zones, that we would do whatever we can because we see ourselves first and foremost servants of God and servants of the people. Now, secondly, servants find purpose in living. You know, there's something about serving that really helps us find a higher purpose in life. Let me try to explain it this way. A number of years ago, I was attending an evening service at Phoenix First Assembly down in Phoenix, Arizona, one of the great churches of our fellowship. Following the service that night, I went out on the patio. And out on the patio following the service, there were hundreds of homeless people who are being fed sandwiches following the service. They had brought them in by the hundreds on their buses. These men and women were in the service. And then following the service, before going back to shelters and other locations, they made sure they had a meal. So I was standing out there on this huge patio, watching the interaction of two businessmen as they were serving sandwiches to the homeless and just loving on these people with all their hearts. As I was standing there watching this wonderful, kind interaction, these two men wearing, you know, just you could tell they just come from the office, and they were wearing some of the finest pressed white shirts you've ever seen. And there they were hugging on these men that hadn't had a bath for 2 weeks or 3 weeks at times. You could see their beautiful white shirts were being smudged by the dirt as they were giving the hugs. As I stood there watching and taking all this in, a man came up alongside of me, understanding that I had been kind of taken in by what I was seeing. And he said, do you know who these two gentlemen are? I said, no, I do not. I said, I'm visiting from out of state and I've enjoyed the service tonight. And I know you've got a great bus ministry and that you care for the poor all over this region of Phoenix. And no, I do not know who these men are. So let me tell you who the first one is. And he pointed him out. He said, he is the CEO of Levitt's Furniture all across America. And this man comes, and he, every opportunity he gets, he not only helps make the sandwiches, he stands out here in the heat of the sun of Phoenix, Arizona, making sure these men have a sandwich, they have something in their stomachs before they go back to their shelters for the night. He said, the other man over here, he said, this individual has more franchises for Firestone Tires, entire Firestone stores from the Missouri River to California, to the coast. He said, no one has more stores than this man. Here these two men were, after their busy day in the office, they made sandwiches. They stood out in the heat of Phoenix and distributed a meal so that these men could eat before being taken back by the church buses to the central city and to their lodging for the night. These men were serving. You know, I see as I walk through these doors on a Sunday morning, everywhere I look, I see men and women just like this that are giving their best. As I walk down through the food court area, I notice that there are those that have been up from 5 o'clock in the morning and been here since 5:45 in some cases, all preparing and readying so that when you stop by, that they can serve you. Do they have plenty to do? Yes, they do. I look across this congregation, I see doctors, I see attorneys, I see men and women that are in various positions of life. Some work in plants, some work driving truck. But after their long, hard days, they're on the parking lot giving us directions so that we can get in and out of here in a quick and safe and efficient way. I see them as I look over this congregation up into the lighting room and the sound boards and every cameraman that's working here this morning and those that are back in the bowels of this building where there's not even sunshine. They're working back out in areas so that television ministry can go around this world. You know, I've come to realize we all have 24 hours in a day. Nobody has 25. All of us this year will have 366 days. This is leap year. And we will all have the same number of hours in a day and the same number of days in the month. We'll all have the same. And these men decided there is something more to life than going to my job, being successful in business. There is something more. There's a dimension. God has designed me. God has wired me. God has given me talents. He has given me giftings. And out of these, until they're used in the service of God, my life does not have the kind of meaning that I want it to have. You see, in serving, these men found their purpose. In serving, they both would say, this was what I was made for. In serving, they would say, this is what I was redeemed for. I was not redeemed merely to be a spectator. I was redeemed to serve. You know, the Bible is filled with men and women just like that. Their lives were redeemed and they became great servants of God and great servants of God's people. When I think of servants, I think of Queen Esther. Queen Esther, you know the long story. We don't have time to go into it all this morning. But here she is. She is in the palace. She has become the queen. Mordecai, her cousin, comes to her one day and says, Queen Esther, there is an evil plot that Haman has put together. And he has gotten Xerxes to agree to this plot. And the plot is to destroy, to wipe out, to kill every single Jew. And it was as though at the beginning was like, well, what am I supposed to do about that? And he said to her, you know the account, look at it, Esther 4 and verse 14, it's on the screen. If you keep quiet at a time like this, deliverance and relief for the Jews will arise from some other place. Now that's interesting. You see, God, he will not stop what he is about to do because we will not participate. God will find someone else, and someone else will have the blessing, and someone else will have the opportunity. the Jews will arise, or rather relief for the Jews will arise from some other place, but you and your relatives will die. You're the one that will miss out, Esther, if you do not step up to the plate. This is your time. Who knows if perhaps you were made queen for just such a time as this? Friends, I believe that where you're at, the positions of life you fill this morning, the home you live in, that our lives are surrounded. It is a Holy Spirit setup. God has strategically placed us right where we're at so that we might be like Queen Esther in the right place at the right time to do what God wants done. I find that is true of Moses. It is true of Gideon. It is true of Deborah. It is true of John the Baptist. If you feel this morning that your life in some dimension is, you know, not what it should be. You've got a good job. You've got position. You can walk down a hallway of a major business, and everyone will say good morning to you, calling you by name. You are the manager. You are the supervisor. You are known. Possibly you're back in the shop and the people up front don't much know you by name, but those within the realm of your influence around your punch press, around your grinding station, they know who you are. God has placed you right where you're at. He placed Moses where he needed Moses to be, and Gideon where he needed Gideon to be, and John the Baptist in the moment, in the season, in the time where he needed to be as well. And if you feel this morning as though, in light of everything else, there's something on the inside that says, you know, I was created for something more than what I am doing. And I'll tell you what that is. That is the God-given talent. That is the God-given gift on the inside of you crying out, please let me serve. And when you begin to serve, I'll just tell you right up front, there will be an explosion of brand new joy in your spiritual walk. And you will find as these men, as they would finish their days in the office and go and make and serve sandwiches to bums on the street, some would call them. This is what I was really created for. To serve God and to serve God's people. Thirdly, I want you to see how servants reflect Christ. You know, there's a story that I came across the other day. It's a true story, by the way, of a little orphan boy living in London after World War II. He was poor and not dressed well at all. He was dirty. This little guy did not have a nickel to his name. He scrounged off the streets, much like the scene, the pawnbroker's scene and our play that we put on about Scrooge. He was poor, dirty, and one day, this little guy, he went over to the bakery, and there he was, peering through the window of the bakery as the baker was just finishing up a fresh batch of donuts. You know, there's nothing that smells like a fresh donut. This little guy, his little nose is pressed against the window. He is drooling, but he has no money. Then a passing American soldier saw this young boy, and he said, "You want some of those?" And the young lad nodded his head. So the American soldier went into this bakery, bought not one or two, but a whole dozen donuts, came out and handed the bag to the boy, and turned and left. The little boy looked at his bag and said, "Sir," as he was walking away, "Sir," and the soldier turned around and the young boy said, "Are you God?" You know how simple it is to reflect Jesus Christ. Here's a little guy that says, "Someone that cares enough about my life to buy me a bag of donuts must be God. And if he's not God, he must be at least God-like." People who serve, they present Jesus Christ to all that they serve. Look at Matthew chapter 5. Verses 13 through 16, it says, these are the words of Jesus. He said, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for what? Anything. It's no longer good for anything. Salt that has no flavor to it, it's good for nothing except to be thrown out and trampled on by men. He said, that's all it's good for. Look at verse 14. Jesus went on to say, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. Now, verse 16. Here's the kicker. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds, they may see how you serve and praise your Father in heaven. So notice here, he said, we ought to be living lives in such a way that as men and women see us, they say, that's got to be God. That's a God man. Not building us up, but they glorify whom? God. Realizing that the acts and the deeds that we perform, we are servants of Christ. And suddenly there's a reflection of Jesus Christ in every single action we have. And I ask you the question, what if everyone served? You know, from time to time I talk to people and I say, you know, you have done so much for the kingdom. And you have been such a wonderful partner in helping take the gospel to the corners of the world. You have taught in Sunday school classrooms. And, you know, the Bible says that we can become weary in well-doing, doesn't it? You know, sometimes you can just wear yourself out. And in those moments, the devil comes along and says, God don't care what you're up to. You will never see any rewards at all for your labor. You have wasted your life away. You could have spent more time in building your own kingdom. Your time was wasted when you gave it away with sandwiches. Your time was wasted away with a small child in Sunday school. Your time was wasted away. But friends, I want you to see what God's word has to say about this, because the Bible tells us there's a day that's coming when God is going to reward all those that serve. Look at Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. And in Hebrews 6 and verse 10, it says, God is not unjust. Isn't that good to know? God is always fair, meaning that God does what is right. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. So the Bible says he is not forgotten and that there's a day that's coming when he is going to reward. Listen to how much he keeps record. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 42. It says, and if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth that he will certainly not lose his what? His reward. So the Bible says even a cup of cold water given in the name of Jesus is not going to go unnoticed and undocumented in heaven. When I think of that, I think, Pastor Lori, of the motorcycle ministry downtown handing out when our city was overtaken in a wonderful and exciting way. Harley-Davidson had their major, whether it's 100 or 105, whichever one it was. But it was an event. Our city was filled with the roar of Harleys from every place on earth. Yes, they brought them over by ship and they flew them in if they were wealthy enough. And it was a sight to behold. Our motorcycle ministry was downtown handing out bottles of water. That's better than what they were going to drink. Handing out cold bottles of water. And on it had a sticker. And that sticker on that bottle just let them know that they were deeply loved by God and that we care about them. And that there's living water. Friends, I want you to know, there's not so much as one bottle of water handed out on the street of Wisconsin that God does not say, I saw what you've done. You've done it for me. You have served. And I keep good record. Look how good God's records are in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13. It says, "Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, 'Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on.' Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors." Yes, you've been serving and on the front lines, and you've done so lifelong. Yes, the Bible says, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on." Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do what? Follow them. And the Bible says the books are going to be opened, and we're going to be judged according to the things written in the books. Friend, I want you to know there's not one single cold cup of water. There is not a helping hand you've ever given. There is no way that God will ever be outdone or outgiven. God will always reward those that make themselves servants. And the servant is not into it because of position or a power. The servant is what I can do to make somebody else's life a little better. I ask you the question once again. What if everyone served? Now, if you feel that God has been tugging at your heartstring this morning a little bit, and I would encourage you to do this. Take the time following the service this morning or tonight at before the service at 6 o'clock until 7. Walk through the ministry fair in the gymnasium and see what God might speak into your heart about serving. See, Jesus modeled it out. He showed us how to live this life out and how to really make it count. And he said, "I've not come into this world to be served. I've come into this world to serve others." Looking for a purpose in life? I mean, you may be known by most everyone. Your job is put you, so to say, on the top. But inside of your heart, there's something stirring because you know you've got a gift that God has given you that's not been put into service. You know, so easy to reflect Christ. See, the moon, all it has to do is just be there. And the moon reflects the sun. Christ, he will be seen in your actions and your deeds when you do it with a heart that is saying, "I just want to make a difference." And one day, you're going to be rewarded.